All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. And that's a very true statement that comes from the Bible. But there is also some parts of the Bible that aren't true. Did you know that? There are some parts that just aren't right. And you used to say, well, what is that? It's in Job. Because Job had three friends that was pretty good friends to him for a little bit. They come in and they sat down and they didn't say anything. It was when they began to talk that they began to not be so good friends. It was when they began to tell Job how awful he must be and how God judges people as wicked. And I don't know what wicked you done, but you done something wicked. You didn't bless the widows. You didn't do that. You didn't. And the fact was, Job hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, his goodness, his righteousness was what got him in trouble. You know, I was looking through old lessons that I had. I got several that I printed out over the years. And I got drawers full of them. I just probably ought to just throw them away. But every once in a while, I go through them and I'll look. And I'll see a title of something that I remember. And I've given this lesson. I probably have given it here before. But when I saw it, I remembered it. And I thought, man, I need that again myself. You know, it's not like you can't read the same scripture, you know, once a year, 2 years, or 3 years. And sometimes we need the same thing. I need the same thing. You know, God told Job and his friends that the simple fact of the matter was that they did not understand much of anything. God, even not one time did he blame Satan. Not one time did he tell Job, the only reason you're in this pickle is because Satan wanted to test you. He didn't. He took it all on his shoulders. He didn't blame anybody. He didn't do anything. He just said, look, you just don't understand, and I don't have to explain myself to you. And we would do well to understand that and to take that and to remember that. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So you can tell people, you can lead them to water, you can do everything you need to do. And it doesn't mean that they're going to follow after God. It doesn't mean they're going to take the easy path, which is the path that God has us to walk. You know, I read a story years ago about a new convert who had just come to Christianity. And she had a bubbly, bouncy, happy teenage daughter. And within just a few weeks of her becoming a Christian, the daughter developed leukemia. And in just a few short weeks after that, had died. And somebody was asking her, you know, how do you feel about that? You know, you just come to Christ and you just think that God's all that and you think it's just wonderful, and what do you say about God now? And she said, let God be God. And how many times do we in our life need to say that? Let God be God and you just be who you are. Because it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to let God be God. I don't want to be God. I don't want nothing to do with it. Let God be God. When my kids was little, the oldest one, I know every kid probably like this, the oldest one would begin to tell the youngest one what they ought to do. You know, Daddy want you to do this. Daddy want you to do that. You know, Daddy's standing right there. And Daddy wants you to... And I'd be like, Sam, don't you let me be Dad and you be Sam and everything will just be wonderful. And how many times does God say to us, would you let me be God? You be Ronnie and I'll be God and everything will be great. We'll work it all out. You know, children don't want to do what you want them to do. You know, a lot of times when they're little, especially, you know, you're going into Walmart and they're walking because they got to walk. You know, they can't be carried. They're big kid. They got to walk. And you're walking along and they're pulling on you. They want to get inside. Oh, my goodness, they're just ready to get inside. And there's that idiot in the Charger, you know, that thinks he has to run 75 in a Walmart parking lot. And he's third down here, and you're pulling back on that child, because if you let go, you know what happened. He'd run right in front of that car and get killed. And that child thinks you're the meanest thing in the world because you're pulling it back and you won't let it go. And you just saved its life. How many times does that happen with us and God? God, what is wrong with you? Why don't you let me do this? What are you doing to me? Why are you holding me back? Saved your life. But I don't have to explain myself to you, and I'm not going to. What told Job? He said, when you figure everything else out, when you figure out how the wind blows and how the rain falls and how I feed everything and the mountain goats that don't never see a human the entire time they're alive and died, you figure out how to feed them, he said, then we'll talk. Let God be God. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't care. He did not care. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Troubles will come. Trials will come. Things will happen. And we'll wonder, why on earth does God let this happen? Romans 8:31 said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, let's look at Job just a second. He lost his children. He lost his flocks. He lost his herds. He lost his health. He lost everything that he had. And he was a very wealthy man. His health was such that he got sores on him, boils, and he had to scrape them off. And he sat down. His wife even said, won't you just curse God and die? Well, thank you for your support, honey. What? How was that for the good? What happened to Job? Job proved that he was a righteous man. He proved that he could bear up even when God wasn't coddling him. And in the end, God blessed him twice as much as he had before. So, you know, God's able. God, the children, bless their heart. One of the things that broke my heart the most when I was raising kids was when they had a little toy of some kind, a little cheap toy, you know. And it broke. And, you know, dad's got to put stuff back together because that's what we do. You know, we fix stuff. And they, you know, that little Chinese junk, you can't fix it. It's plastic. Made out of plastic that's not good plastic to start with, and you can't help it. You can't do nothing with it. And then kids, them cry, you know. And I think it hurt my feelings worse than it did theirs, you know, because they'll get over it, pick something else up, and go play. They don't care. But I would think, man, I wish I could fix that. And those toys are so precious to them children. They don't amount to nothing. A little piece of cheap plastic don't amount to nothing. How do you think God feels when we go to whining, crying and moaning and groaning about some little something that we lost, we had to give up, and it, to him, it's just a little piece of plastic junk. Everything is the Lord's. The fullness of the earth is the Lord's. Job could have said, oh, look at the things that I've lost. It didn't matter to God. I'll give you twice as much as you had. I don't care. There you go. You see, he doesn't let God be God. His end was better than his beginning. And he proved what a person he was. I think it was worth it. He wouldn't have chose to go through it, I'm sure. But it made a difference in his life. 1 Peter 1 verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Sometimes, for some reason, for a little while, if it's necessary, like the way he said that, heaviness through manifold temptation. A lot of things happening and is weighing you down. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, will be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said, we're going to get that faith pumped up to where it is going to be to your honor and glory when Jesus reappears. That's what it's for. Yet other people, they get angry with God. I've heard people just get mad at God. You ever hear that? You know, it makes me want to take a step back. I know God's a good shot, but still, I just take a step back because I'm not sure that they're going to be around much longer when they start talking like that. You know, they'll be like, oh, I hate God. God just, he's mean. And, you know, he says, pray, and if you're good, I'll answer you. If I won't do it, if I don't, I won't. Well, that's maybe the God of the Islamics, but it's not the God that I serve. But people do. They get mad at God. And, you know, Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We cannot let go. We cannot think, well, I'm tired. I've just went through so much. I've done so much for God. I just can't do more. Well, we can't get to that point. He said, don't be weary in well doing. Don't give up. That's why I talk about it probably way too much, but when I talk to people about Africa and Malawi and different places, you say, well, we've given so much over the years, and I know people get tired of giving. But I'm like, you know, we're not going to cure it. All we can do is give. Let us not be weary in well-doing. But you do. You get tired. And they know it. I've heard Brother Winston, please tell them not to get tired of helping us. Please tell them we're not doing it on purpose. It is breaking your heart. But the point is, it happens. And that's what Paul said to the Galatians. He said, don't get tired and doing good. In due season, you're going to reap way more than you give. Way more. In Jude, verse 17, he says, beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fire, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. You know, there are people that they just walk after the flesh. They just walk after their own senses. They just do what makes them feel good and what they think's good, and they don't. They don't do what's right. He says, brethren, stay in what is right and do what is good. Christ is able and will present you to God faultless. Looky here. Here's my servant. See my servant? Ain't no fault in him. None. He doesn't change, you know. God doesn't ever change. Malachi said that, Malachi 3 and 6, I'm the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord. I don't change. Look what God has done over the centuries. And then we get into this, well, I can't do that. I just can't. Now, well, I can't club. All we got to do is join to say it. I can't. There you go. You're in. In like Flynn, man. I can't help but hate that person for what they did to me. Okay. I can't give up this sin. It's just too precious to me. They may not say it's a sin, but they'll say, I can't stop filling the blank. I can't forgive the wrong that was done to me. I can't stay awake in second service. Never mind. But they do. They say, I can't do that. They say it with so much conviction, sometimes you think it's some kind of like immutable law of the universe that they can't possibly do this or that. You know? They just say it. They're just like, I just can't. You know, gravity is a law of the universe. I'm happy for gravity. I like gravity. I got a little too much going on right now, but I still like it. And because if it wasn't for that, I'd be bumping my head on the ceiling if I'd ever got in here. So I kind of like gravity. There are laws of the universe. Gravity is one of them. It's immutable. You can't change gravity. You know, you may fool it for a second or two if you drop real fast, or you may get out away from it, but you can't stop gravity. So therefore, I can't fly, right? I can't take 190,000 tons of steel and get it in the air? Yes, you can. Come with me after service. I'll take you down south of Atlanta. And I'll show you, they do it every day, like clockwork, with real regularity. And their airplanes go down, them things they're heavy. They got a lot of folks in them. They got a lot of luggage in them. They got a lot of fuel in them. And they just, next one, all day and all night, every day of the week. You know what that law is called? It's called the law of aerodynamics. You get that wing shape just right, it don't matter what it weighs, it'll take off. You get it going fast enough. See, we say, I can't. What if Orville and Wilbur said, I can't? You know, they finally got where they got off the ground a little ways. But we say it all the time. I can't do that. I can't understand the law. I can't read and understand it. I can't figure out what he wants me to do. I can't do this. I can't. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You can do that. Philippians 4 and 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, be careful for nothing. We've read that. I probably read that 3 or 4 times this week. I need that. Don't worry about stuff. Throw it on God. It all works because God is near. He has said, lay your burdens on me and I'll take them. Lay it on me. God has never wanted his people to shrink back from anything. You ever think about that for just a little bit? God has never, ever wanted his children to back up from anything. Why would we? Even if it kills us, we get to be with God. You know, we win either way. But the point is, he has never, ever wanted his people to back up. When they come to the walls of Jericho, my goodness, them walls, I forget how many feet thick them things was, how tall they was. They wasn't going anywhere. You could race chariots 2 abreast on top of them walls. That was thick. And when they come up to that, the best thing they could have done, in all reality, speaking from a military standpoint, would have been to go around it. Take less time, less casualties, won't hurt so bad. Let's just go around it. Let's just leave it. We'll come back after we cut its supply off. We'll starve them out. We'll do something later. God said, no, sir, that's not. We're going to go through it, Joshua. Once you get out there and march around it, you will. I almost hear you. Well, maybe Joshua's not like me. I've been saying, what? Just, if you say that one more time, I may have misunderstood what you said. Did you say go march around it quietly? Yes. 6 days. go out, march around, and come back, and sit down. And then the sixth day, go around it. Six times, then seven times, sound the trumpet, shout, because the Lord's giving you the city. And that's what happened. God didn't say go around it. God said, let's do this. Let's do something totally off the wall so that you know that it's me. And I'm going to have you do it a week because I want to make sure that you understand that you follow my commandments regardless of how arbitrary they may sound to you. I will do what I promise as well. That was an act of faith. It had nothing to do with the walls. It was an act of faith. And he said, let's go through it. Let's go through it. Let's don't worry about it. Let's just knock it down. We know the power of God. You know, and it sometimes saddens me, it frustrates me. It makes me want to give up sometimes, because you can just talk to people and family especially really bad. You can just talk to them and you can preach to them and you can explain things to them, and they just don't want a part of it. And they're not going to have a part of it. And they just go off and do what they want to do. And I've had several people over the years, and it's borne out in the scriptures as well. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. In fact, God told Samuel that. He was upset. He was frustrated. He goes, they're not rejecting you, buddy. It's me. It's not you. Let me be God. Let me be the one. Because it is. It's about God. It's not about us. Don't overly concern yourself with what other people are saying and thinking. You know, I talk to people all the time. It's not important what other people think about you. Do you realize that? Do we really understand that? It is not important. What is important is what you think other people are thinking about you. That's where it comes down. And you know what? I've told people this all my life, and it's true. They're so busy thinking about themselves, they ain't got time to think about you. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about what people's thinking. Worry about what God's thinking. That's the important thing. That's the important thing. Don't judge one another. Don't be evil one another. James 4:11 says, speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? I've had people judge me all my life. People tell me, you ain't much of a Christian. You big old hypocrite. You done do this and you done that. And yeah, I know I did. I done worked it out with God. I done told him. He knows how I am. Way better than you do. Romans 14:4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him to stand. You know, I might be judging Brother Bill and saying, he does this, he does that, and I don't know why God puts up with him. Meanwhile, God's like, I'll hold him up. You just don't worry about it. Let God be God. Let Him be. We have troubles, we have trials, we have tribulations. We look at each other and we think, all this and all that. We need to let God be God. Let God do what He's going to do. And let's just be who we are. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now get this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, or neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Look, I don't think like you. I don't do things like you. I am so much higher than you. I love you to pieces, but there is so much going on that you don't understand, and I don't have to explain it to you. And that, sometimes we get a little upset with that last part. God does not have to explain himself to us, nor should he. Would we even understand? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's how much above you I am, is the heaven above the earth. He says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It will accomplish the things that I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. God's just saying, just stick with me. Just stay with me just a little while. That's all you have to do. Just stick with me. And someday the trees are going to clap their hands for you. Mountains are going to sing to you. Because you were my child. He said, my word is going to do what my word is going to do. You know, we think, oh, we tell people the word. We try to change them. We try to do that. God said, my word is going to do what I want it to do. Just don't you worry about it. Our duty is to tell people. That's it. Our duty is to tell people, walk in God, trust God, have hope in God. In just a little while, and just like Jericho, walls just fell down before him. Just like that, one day we're going to be in his presence. Will it be rejoicing? Will it be happy? Or will it be, oh no, I'm here. It's up to you. It's not up to me. I can only tell you. I can only tell you what I know. I can only read Scripture. That's all I can do. It's up to you. Are you ready to meet God? If not, I invite you to come forward this afternoon. We're going to sing a song. If you're here, you need to help with the church in any way. If you come forward while we stand and sing.